Today's daf is daf nun beis, so we got to the bottom of nun aleph on the beis, two lines from the bottom. It's two dots, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, so if the Kohen was married to a woman, the woman was captured, and he redeems her in order to send her back to her house. He's not allowed to say married to her, because now since she was captured, we assume she was anusa, at best, and Kohen's not allowed to say married to his wife, who was anusa. So the Gemara says, in light of this, Amar Abaye says, Almana l'Kohen Gadol chayev livdosa. Let's say Kohen Gadol married an Almana, which is Aser Midiraisa, it's an Iser Lav, and the Almana gets taken away, she's captured. So the Kohen Gadol has an obligation to redeem her, because even though he's not allowed to say married to her, it's Aser, the Kedushin's Chal in general, but he has to divorce her. He hasn't yet divorced her. So one would think, maybe since she's held in captivity, he has no responsibility to redeem her anymore because she's really usher to him. Says Abaye, no, he has an obligation to redeem her because he's redeeming her. When it comes to a Kohenes, an Ashes Kohen, the obligation to redeem her is to redeem her to send her back home. So Amar Kohen Gadol is going to redeem her to send her back home because she's usher to him, no different than any other Kohen. Even though normally a Kohen is mutter to marry his wife, but now she becomes usher because she's held in captivity, Amar Kohen Gadol, she was always usher to him, but still, he's going to accomplish the same thing. He's going to mekayim this tanai the ksuba by redeeming her, sending her back home, since she's asur to him even before she was held in captivity. Why? Because the Gemara explains, Shani kore ba, I refer to this, or I call her, ubekohenes adjinech lemedinasech, because I'm going to mekayim the din of redeeming her in order to bring her back to her medina, her house. However, mamzeres, top of nun beis amun aleph, mamzeres v'nisina liyisrael, eino chayav levdoso. But if a Yisrael is married to a Mamzeres and Nesina, who of course are Aser Midiraisa and Iser Lav to them, then there is no obligation for the husband to redeem her, She'ein Ani Korba Vosvinech Li Leinoso. I don't call this, what the Ksuba writes, to redeem her in order to be back in my house as the husband, because you're not allowed to marry her, you'd have to redeem her to send her back home. And that's not being Mekayim the Tanai that you have in the Ksuba. When it comes to Nesina Yisrael, you have to redeem her to come back home. By the Mamzeres and Nesina, you cannot bring her back home with you, you have to send her back to her house, and therefore there is no obligation to redeem such a woman. Okay, so just to say, see it in Rashi. Rashi says the top line, "Mamzeres v'nisina liYisrael afagav this like ksuba." Even though there's a ksuba when these two people get married, v'tanai ksuba d'lemishkal v'mepik less a tanai ksuba d'parkuna. Even though the other tanaim exists, the ksuba, the tanai of parkuna, the tanai of being podeh, is not going to apply to them. D'meikara lo ishabi leif. From the beginning, there is no shibud, since they got married b'isser, and he's not allowed to redeem her to bring her back home. That part of the ksuba won't be chal on him. Rava argues. Rava says a different sir. Rava writes three lines from the top. Rava amar kol she'isser shviya gorem la chayiv levdoso. Isser davar acher gorem la eino chayiv levdoso. So whenever there's an isser that became because of the captivity, so then he has a requirement to still redeem her. If the isser came about because of something else, he would not have an obligation to redeem her. What's an afkamina? Almana l'kohen gadol. Almana l'kohen gadol was aser midavar acher, and therefore there's no obligation to redeem a almana l'kohen gadol because it's davar acher. Exactly. No, Mamzeres Messina also, you would not have to redeem either, right?
So Rabbi is comparing in Mamzeres to the Kohen Gadol.
Exactly. So, but as opposed to Abaye, he says, Almana Kohen Gadol, one would have to redeem her.
Right.
Rabbi says you would not have to redeem her because according to Rabbi, it's all about what caused the Isser. Since the Davar Acher caused it, there's no obligation. But Abaye referred to, no, are you going to be Mekayim the Tanai of returning her back to her house? That's what the criteria is. So that's Machlokas Rav and Abaye. And again, the nafkamina being Almana l'kohen gadol. Yep. So the Gemara now says, Lema suggests maybe that's a ketanai. Maybe it's machlokas Rav and Abaye. It's really machlokas tanaim. Right? Because Rav and Abaye are maraim, and perhaps they're arguing about the very same machlokas that we find appearing in the tanaim. What's the tanai? What's the tanya, the brisa? Hamadres ishto, a person takes a nether against his wife. And Rashi explains that it's milehanos lo, that she cannot get hana from him. She says, you cannot get any hana from me. I'm not going to give you any money, no mazonos, no nothing. So let's say such a husband takes a nether like that. V'nishbeis, and she goes ahead and gets taken away, held in captivity. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, podev nosin la ksuvasa. You have to redeem her, and you send her off with her ksuva, Even though you, in the end, you have to divorce her because there's a nether. You can't stay married with such a woman because there's a nether. She can't get hanah from you. She can't live under the same roof. You can't feed her. You can't have a relationship like that. So you have to ultimately divorce her. So you, even though you're going to redeem her, to ultimately divorce her, Rabbi Eliezer says you do that.
Can you be mother on somebody else not to have hanah from you?
Yes.
Is that nether that's valid?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you're nether by yourself.
I mean, you can say I'm not going to have that from him, but how could you say I'm making another that you're not going
to have? It's my property. So I have every right to say my property is off limits for you.
Yeah, but let's say it's a different type of anah, that it's not zenene v'zelochas or whatever or something like that. No.
Anything that I have ownership to.
Is it on any person or only on the wife?
Any person. Any person. Oh. You can make a nether on yourself that you can't get hanah from something, and you can make a nether that someone else can't get hanah from you. The language always get confusing. If you have to know diktuk well, when you learn the Gemara's Nadar, Madir, Mudar, Nether, Nidar, it's very confusing who's making a nether and who. It's very confusing. Yeah, it's the next one. Yeah,
I didn't do it yet,
we still have 60 days or so.
Okay.
2 months, with Hashem. Okay, so such a person takes a nether that his wife cannot get hanah from him. So and she gets taken away in captivity. Rabbi Eliezer Paskins, you redeem her, and then you give her a ksuba and let her go free. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no sin la ksuvasa evena podet. Nope, you pay the ksuba, here's your 200 mana, and fend for yourself. There's no obligation.
What?
He said, here's the money, and whenever you're ready, it's here waiting in an escrow account for you to come collect. We wired something over to her while she's in jail.
And he's hoping that ain't going to happen. Here it is. You come and figure.
So, as we see in Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua, whether there's an obligation to redeem such a wife who was asked to get hanah from her husband. So, further on the Brisa, Amar Rabbi Nasan Sha'alti Es Sumchas. Rabbi Nasan said, I asked Sumchas once. Kishamar Rabbi Yeshua Nosein Lak Suvasavina Poda. When Yeshua says, here's your ksuba, take care of yourself, that's the situation of kishedira ulvasof nishbeis. Is that only a situation where first he took the nether, and only after that she was taken away in captivity? Oh, or perhaps the situation was, benishbeis, first she became captivity, and ulvasof hedira. He said, no, first his wife got taken away. He's like, I'm not dealing with this. I'm making a nether. You cannot get hanah from me. And then he removes himself from the situation. What's the scenario? Did the nether take place first? And then Nishbeis, or did Nishbeis take place first, and then he took the nether? Ramarli and Simcha said back to me, quotes Rabbi Nasan, Lo Shemati, I didn't hear about this case, I don't know. Which is just a great Musser. I was like pointing out, whenever you find that anyone ever says, I don't know the answer to, is a tremendous Musser. Rashi says this in a number of places. Rashi in the beginning of Brachel says this. Rabbi Kivi Eger, this is a whole number of places where Rashi, like 20 places where Rashi says, I don't know the answer. Here you find Simchas, one of the great, great Tanayim, who says, Lo Shemati, I didn't hear, I don't know. It's a tremendous Musar. The Musar is that you don't know the answer sometimes. It's okay to say, I don't know. Completely okay to say, I just don't know. It's a big problem, I find, just to go off on a rant for 1 second, when rabbis feel like if they ask a shy, they feel like if I don't know the answer, they think I know nothing, I have to make something up, and it becomes a terrible, terrible thing. If for their own kavod and their own gaiva, they won't admit they don't know the answer to. If Simchas is saying, Lo Shemati, I don't know the answer, it's okay for anyone in our generation to say, I don't know the answer to. Anyway, so Simchas says, I don't know the scenario. I'm not sure what it is. So, Venir and Devarim, so the words appear, Shehedira ulvasof nishmes. It makes sense to me, says Simchas, what I think the answer might be is, where first they took the nether, that his wife cannot get hanah, and after that fact, she was nishmes. Why? Diamris nishbeis levasof hadira. If you say the scenario is where she first was held in captivity and then he took the nether, also lerume. You can have all these husbands doing all this trickery and say, my wife was taken away, I'm just going to take a nether. And they're going to remove themselves from the responsibility of pidyon, even though they're allowed to. The nether will be chal, but we don't want giving anyone this opportunity to do such trickery. So therefore, it makes sense that the situation would only be allowed if the nether took place first and then she was held in captivity.
Let's say he didn't make a nether and she's in captivity, right?
Uh-huh.
He cannot make a nether to get rid of a chiyuv like that, because the chiyuv is already chal the moment that she's captive.
No, you can. The Gemara says in a few places that that a few things can remove a shibud.
Really?
Let's say chametz. Let's say I have a shibud, and that if I don't pay back the loan, my bread will be yours. Chametz comes along, and to make the bread aser now, so you no longer have a lien on that chametz because the iser is chal. Or let's say I'm being makdish something that you have a lien on. If I'm makdish it, it's puck of the shibud.
Yeah. So would that be the case, or there is a really a mitzvah addition from mamanos? It's only mamanos?
Which part?
The chiv of pidyon.
Only chiv mamanos. Yeah, so this also, if I'm makdish it, if I'm neder, it will be puck of the shibud. Okay. So now that being the case, now that Sumchus assumed the situation was where first they took the nether from the wife and then she was taken away in captivity. So my love, the Gemara continues. We're still on this discussion of Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer. We want to connect this to Rav and Abaye. So my love, if it's not talking about a situation, b'madir eishes kohen k'miflagi. So now let's further explain the case. Is it not talking about a case where Kohen was madir his wife, you can't get hana from me. And there's a machlokas in that situation whether the Kohen has to redeem her or not. Rabbi Eliezer says he has to redeem her. Rabbi Yeshua says he does not have to redeem her. So now let's line it up with Rav and Abaye. Abaye damar k'Rabbi Eliezer. Abaye, who says in the previous page, the bottom of Amud Beis, of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, says that you have to redeem Almana Kohen Gadol has to redeem her. So it's the same situation. Almana Kohen Gadol are usher to each other, and a mother Isha is usher to the Kohen. So just like Rabbi Eliezer says, still, even though you're Madar Isha, you still have to redeem her. Even though she's Asa, you still have to redeem her. So to Abaye says, now Madar Kohen Gadol, you still have to redeem her. But let's say Rava, Damar Krabi Yeshua, Rava here, by the case of Madar Kohen Gadol, says you do not have to redeem the Almana because she is she's Asa to you. It's Davar Acher Gormla. So he will link up with Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the Kohen and Madar Isha, the Kohen would not have to redeem her since she is usher to him. It's a davar acher, which is goring the iser, not the shivuya. So that's the Gemara initially wanted to line those two machlokas up with each other. And the Gemara rejects that, saying, love, not true. Hach b'mayaskinan, what are we talking about here? Not a Kohen at all. The case of nadir is, kigon shen nadra ihi v'kaim la hu. It's where she actually made the nadir that she says, I am not going to get hana from you, my husband. And he was not Mefer, he was Mekayim the Nether. And that's the situation we're referring to here. That's the Machlokas. And what's the Machlokas Rabbi Elazar B'Yeshua? So the Gemara explains. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Hu Nasan Etza Bein Shinao. Rabbi Elazar says he has a responsibility for redeeming her because he caused this. By him allowing her to make the Nether, being Mekayim it, he's sticking the finger in her teeth, meaning he's poking her in the eye, if you will. He's the one doing this to her, so he's somewhat held responsible, and he's trying to remove his Chiyav Pidyom. He has to redeem her. It's his fault also to a certain extent. He has a responsibility. But Rabbi Yeshua Savar, no. He nasa etzba ben shinah. She's put her finger in her own mouth, in her own teeth. So, and it's her fault, and therefore the husband has no responsibility what she makes a nether on her own. That's her fault. She started the whole thing. So interesting machlokas here.
According to Rabbi Eliezer, he should have been made for the...
Exactly.
And since he wasn't made for, she's for... He has to pay.
Exactly. So what comes out, this is a pretty conceptual machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, when the wife makes another, exactly, and the husband is mekayimit, is the mekayim view, is the husband viewed as a proactive party in being mekayim the nether? Or no, he just sits back and does nothing. It's not his nether.
Does he have to actively mekayim it, or he can, or yes, it's not to be mekayim?
If 24 hours pass and he does not mefer it, so then it's
automatic.
Yeah. Right. If he does say it's Mekayim within 24 hours, you don't have to wait 24 hours for it to exist. But if you just sit back and wait, the time goes out, it's automatically
exactly. It's his problem. The Torah gave him the possibility to mafer the nether.
So that's the machlokas.
The fact that he didn't, he agreed to it.
So that's the machlokas. So is his silence? No, is his silence viewed as a proactive being? You think so that's a. So is that first Shikok Hoda? How is that? Is that considered like a Mamash Hoda?
His fault and it's fine.
Okay, there you go. Who needs Rabbi Yeshua?
Let's say you have a fight with not you. Somebody else has a fight with you. You never fight with your mate. Somebody has a fight with his wife, and they get in a terrible fight. And he was like, you know what? I hate you. And I don't want anything to have anything with you. And you're upset also. And then 24 hours passes, and you didn't do anything because you thought she was wrong.
So, and.
No. Marriage counseling. Okay, let's go weiter.
What's the
right.
Okay, so Gemara says, so that's Machlokas. When he is Mekayim her nether, how much of a role does he have? Is he responsible? And therefore, he have to pay for a redemption? Or no, it's completely her fault, and he's not responsible for her redemption. Says the Gemara now, Nasna etzba beinchina. If according to Rabbi Yeshua that she's sticking her finger in her own teeth, it's her fault, and he's completely absolved of paying her pidyon. Ksuva my avidase. So we said before that even Rabbi Yeshua, even though he said you don't have to redeem her, you still give her a ksuba. Why do you have to even give her the ksuba? It's completely her fault. Why was he at fault for paying any ksuba? That's the Gemara Shaila. Visu, wait, why is it such a good Shaila though? You always have to pay the ksuba when she goes out.
כלומר שכיוון שרבי יהושע סובר שהאישה היא שגרמה לעצמה שיגרשנה בעדה, מדוע תיטול ממנו כתובתה? She caused him that, she gave him no option but to divorce her.
So if it's since she caused it, he doesn't have to pay the ksuba, yes. Visu, moreover, before we get to the answer, the Gemara asks further. Amar Rabbi Nasan, recording Rabbi Nasan before, she'alti et simchus, he says, I asked simchus, and kishama Rabbi Shua Nasan lek suvasa of enum bodeh kishadir levasof nishbeso kishnishbeso levasof hadira. Rabbi Nasan wanted to know, when did Rabbi Yeshua say you don't have to redeem her? Is it when there was a nishbeis and then nether, or was it when there was nether and then nishbeis? And Amar and Simchas responded back, lo shemati, I don't know the answer, but I don't know the answer. Fine. So in light of that discussion, v'id nadri ihi, if she made the nether, then, if that was the whole case, mali hadir levasof nishbeis, mali nishbeis levasof hadir, who cares the order? When Simchas gave his response, I think it makes more sense that it was nether than nishbeis, because if it was nishbeis and then nether, every husband is going to just make that nether afterwards and remove himself from her situation. And we don't want any husbands doing that. But if she's the one, we're saying now she made the nether and he's mekayim it, who cares when she took the nether? If she's the one initiating it, who cares whether she's in captivity when she made the nether or before captivity? It's up to her. There's no trickery going on there. So that seems to say it's not where she made the nether and he was mekayim it. So Ella the Gemara concludes, Liolam de Adra Ihu. Now we're going back to what we said initially. That's really where the husband made the nether. So what's Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua? So again, the difficulty right here now is the Gemara never wants to say Machlokas Amaraim is the same exact as Machlokas Tanaim. Because what new would the Amaraim be adding to the table? They're not going to repeat a Machlokas that existed. So we're not comfortable saying that Abai and Rava completely line up with Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Eliezer. So now we have to create a situation. What is Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua arguing about that's different than Rava and Abai? So the Gemara says it's talking about a situation where the husband made the nether before the captivity. V'abai matar tzlatame, v'rava matar tzlatame. And each of the Rav and Abai's are going to explain Machlokas Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Eliezer according to their liking. How so? Abai matar tzlatame, remember, Abai said, was the first opinion by Almana LeKohen Gadol, that he said that since the Kohen Gadol is going to redeem the Almana to send her back home, so it's going to be, he has a chiyah pidyon on her. So Abai explains the Machlokas Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Eliezer as follows. Abai matar tzlatame, Almana LeKohen Gadol, everybody agrees, when a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, he has to, and she gets taken away, he has to redeem her to send her back home. Nobody argues. Even Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua agree to that case. Mamzeres v'nesin al Yisrael, chul yamal lo pligi de'enu chayv levdoso. In that case, there's no obligation to redeem her, because you cannot redeem her to come back to your own house, because you're not allowed to stay married to her. When's the machlokas? Sorry, I lost the place for a second. Oh, Madr Eishes Kohen. When it's the Kohen takes a nether against his own wife, Nami Chuyama lo pligi dechayv levdoso, he also has to redeem her, because the Hainu Almana LeKohen Gadol, the same exact case as Almana LeKohen Gadol, where you redeem her to send her back home. You cannot stay married to such a woman you took a nether from. It's no different than Almana LeKohen Gadol, where there is also an Isser. So what's the machlokas according to Abaye? Ki pligi, when do they argue? B'madr Eishes Yisrael, when Yisrael takes a nether against his wife. Rabbi Eliezer Azil Basar Meikara. Rabbi Eliezer says you go based in the beginning. And initially, when they got married, before the nether ever existed, the husband had an obligation, a shibud, to redeem his wife if she were ever to be held in captivity. Now, the fact that he took a nether later on is not going to remove him from that shibud. The shibud still exists. Right, it Basar Meikara. Right? That's what you were suggesting before. Right. Rabbi Yeshua Azil Basar Bosof, you go based on the end, and his nether will be paka, his shibud. So this is exactly what we were discussing before. I'm just seeing if Rashi says anything on this. No, nothing new. Okay. It sounds to me that this is very similar to the case of being Makdish something and being Pak of the Shibud. That's what seems like it's Talion. I'm just curious in the back if anybody makes such a connection.
And he pulls it out?
No, the situation, let's say I've got I owe you money and I make a shibud to pay back in a piece of my property, and then I'm makdish that property. That property, actually, you lose your lien on that property. If I sell it, so then you always have that lien. It always goes wherever. But if I makdish it, or if it's chametz in Pesach, then you lose that shibud. I don't see anybody making this connection in the back. But it seems to me a very similar model.
It seems to me that your case, it goes on the hefta, and here it goes on the chiyuv. Meaning when you are noder on something, so this that you are noder, you give it to hekdesh. So that is irreversible. But when you have a chiyuv to just give money, unless you give all your money to hekdesh, or meaning he still has a chiyuv because the specific money that he's giving to her, it's not determined yet. He has to pay for it.
It's a great chiluk. You're saying the neder we're talking about here is more abstract.
Abstract, because right. You're not saying this money is for pidyon. You say, listen, I'm taking up on myself to give a pid to be pidyon. When I have to work afterwards and get the money, whatever I do, I'll come up with the money.
It's a great chiluk. The only thing is that the Gemaras talk about the difference between a neder and a shua. A shua is more gavra legavra, neders are more on the chefza. But this is a nether, mother ishto. The question is this going to be on all my chafatsim, all my objects? So maybe that's the direction to go. Okay. So that's all according to Abai. Now Rava is going to explain how he views the machlokas Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara says, now Rava Matarich Latame, how does he read this? Alman l'kohen gadol, remember he held the svar was, what caused the iser? If it's the nishbase that causes the husband and wife to be usher with each other, then the husband still has a responsibility of being poder. If it's davar acher, like alman l'kohen gadol, something else caused the iser between for them to stay with each other, then there is no obligation to redeem her. Says Rava now, alman l'kohen gadol, mamzeres v'nisin l'Yisrael, which all those relationships are aser, kuli amal l'pligi, the einu chayv l'doso. There's no obligation to redeem her because it's a davar acher that gorim the iser. Ki pligi, when do they argue? B'madav bein eishes kohen bein eishes Yisrael. That's machlokes, regardless of who the husband is, whether the husband's a kohen or Yisrael, if he's madav his wife from getting hana, that's machlokes. How so? Rabbi Eliezer also basa mikara, and since initially when they were married, the shibud existed to redeem her, even though later on there became a nether. Rabbi Shua also basa basof. He goes based on the end, and right now there's a current nether and nisr hana, and therefore there is no obligation to redeem them. So that's machlokes, Rabbi Rava and Abaye, in how to interpret the machlokes, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer.
Seems a very similar. I don't understand the difference.
No, their difference is because they argue about Amar L'Kohen Gadol, that's one, Machlokas. And within Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, they argue about...
Meaning both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, they both hold that the Machlokas is Bata Mekara and Bata Sof.
Yes, but which applications?
It's just if you apply it also to the...
Eshes Kohen. Exactly. That's the only difference. They argue by Amar L'Kohen Gadol, another case, and within Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, they're arguing about Eshes Kohen.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Two dots now. The Gemara says, Nishbeis chayv l'fdosa. If she is held in captivity, so there is an obligation to redeem her. The Gemara quotes from a Brisa, Tanur Rabbanan, Nishbeis b'chaye baila. Let's say she's held, taken away in during the lifetime of her husband. V'achar kach meis baila. And before she's redeemed, her husband dies. So what's the responsibility that falls on the Yorshin? Do the Yorshin now have to inherit this responsibility of redeeming seemingly their mother or maybe their stepmother? Hikir ba baila, if the husband was aware of the situation during his lifetime, so he was aware of the obligation to redeem her, then Yorshin chayv l'fdoso. Then the Yorshin are going to inherit this responsibility and have to redeem her. But lo hikir ba baila, if the husband was not aware of this situation and then he died, never being aware of his wife being taken away, then ein Yorshin chayv l'fdoso. Then there is no responsibility that's incumbent upon the Yorshin. Levi, savar l'mevid uvda. Levi wants a situation like this happen and wanted to paskin like this brisa. I'm not sure which direction he was going based on whether he knew about it or not. I'm not sure what happened in the details. He wanted to paskin whether the husband was aware of it or not aware of it to dictate whether the Yorshin had that responsibility. So Amalei Rav says back to him, Hachi Amar Chavivi. Chavivi said, Less Hilchasa ki ha masnisa. We do not paskin like this masnisa. Masnisa ella ki atatani. We follow like the following brisa. Nishbeis la'achar mises baila ein ha'yisomim chayim l'fdoso. If the husband dies and then the widow is taken away, then the yisomim have no responsibility to redeem her. V'lo'o, not only that, ela afilo nishbeis b'chay baila, even if she's held taken away during the lifetime of the husband, v'achar kach meis ha'baila, and then the husband dies, ein ha'yisomim chayim l'fdoso. The yisomim are not responsible to redeem her, even if the husband was quite aware of the situation. Why? Shein ani kareba ve'osvinech lein elsa. Because you're not going to be mekayim the tanai. Ksuba is, I have a responsibility to redeem her, to bring her back to be my wife. Obviously, if the husband dies, there's no one being mekayim the tanai anymore. The yisomim are certainly not being mekayim the tanai of bringing her back to be their husband. So therefore, the yisomim have no responsibility of redeeming this woman.
Even if the husband knew that she was nishba.
Yep.
So that's what. So okay.
And that seems to be how we paskin from the Rambam and the Shulchan
Aruch. Wow. That's a tough one.
By the way, just as a genealogical point, look at the last line of Rashi. I know Adam would have appreciated this. You know, he's very holding in the family trees of everybody.
Too, but you can do that.
No, I know.
So.
Yeah, Chavivi. So look at Rashi. Chavivi says, Rebbe Chia, Shehu Dodo, Achi Aviv. So Chavivi, Rebbe Chia was, he was the uncle, he was his father's brother.
Where are you reading?
So the last line of Rashi, just telling you who's talking here. Uh-huh. That we saw Rebbe Chia here also. I'm confused.
Rebbe Chia is elsewhere. There's a Rashi, he's the uncle on both mother's side and father's side.
Yeah,
of,
exactly.
Of
Avachia.
Rabban, but I know.
I forget who it is. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Psachim. I don't remember who, but
his uncle from both sides.
Yeah, exactly. His uncle and aunt married each other from opposite sides. That's what it was.
Oh.
Okay. So it says the Gemara now. Let's go back three lines from the bottom. The Gemara says Tanur Rabbanon. Nishbeis, if she's taken away in captivity, v'hayu mevakshim mimenu ad aser b'demeha. Let's say they say, okay, I'll let you have her, but 10 times her value. So what's the halacha? Pam yishona poder. So first time, you redeem her. Mikan v'elech, they capture again. Like, wait a second, this is a wealthy guy. Let's capture again and make him pay again another 10 times the amount. Mikan v'elech, ratza poder, ratza eno poder. He has the option. First time, he has the obligation, a built-in ksuba, he has to redeem her. More than that, he doesn't have to redeem her. If he wants to and has the wherewithal, he certainly can, but he has no obligation to do that. Uh-huh. Now, there's an interesting Tosas here, which we don't have time to do, but the Tosas Vahayu talks about the Gemara in Gittin, which says we're not allowed to redeem somebody for more than their own value, because it's going to cause one of two problems. Either the terrorists are going to see, oh, wait a second, they're paying a lot of money, let's start capturing more people now. That's number one. Number two is it's going to be a big duchta b'tzipura that we have to start gathering all the funds. It's going to be tough for the tzibur to collect funds for the continuous redemptions. So how are we allowed to say to redeem for such a high value? I think Tosa ends up saying that because a person himself is allowed to redeem himself. If he gets held in captivity, there's no duchta b'tzipura anymore. It's just for himself. He could pay from funds if he has the funds to redeem himself. So his wife is ishto kegufo, so for his wife also one's allowed to. But someone other than himself or someone other than his wife, there is no responsibility for doing that. But
I think captured his big rabbi.
Maharami Rotenberg.
Yes, Maharami Rotenberg.
He passed away in jail. He wouldn't let them redeem them.
Because he was a...
Right, and he refused the Kehida to get him out.
Right.
היה ראשון אחד שהוא נשאר בביצור, הוא לא הרשה לקהילה לבדות אותו. הוא נפטר בביצור. ראשון.
Okay. Fine. Tell the Gemara now further. That's all according to the Tanakhama. Then the last line of the page here, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, the argument says, no. Ein poden es ha-shvuyin yos al-kidei d'mei mipnei tikkun olam. Like we said, one's not allowed to redeem a shvuya for more than their value because of tikkun olam. Rashi explained. Rashi seems to take a side here. Ein mipnei tikkun olam, top line, shelo yargilu lehalos al-demem. In order that they don't, the terrorists don't continue to do this in order to prevent that from happening. But to read Machlok is in Gid what the Svar is for this. So, but the implication is, Ha b'chdei d'meim, poden, but if it's they're willing to ransom her off for her value, however you value that, then one would have to pay the full value, Afagav d'parkuna yosa k'suvasa, even though the redemption value is more than what's written in the k'suba. This is it doesn't he doesn't address the point of one or two. So okay, so again, it's only in front. So it's even though again, whatever redemption value is, even though it might be more than what he obligated himself in the Ksuba between the Masayim and the Toseves and Nadunu, all the things he put in, if it ends up being let's say $2,000 and she's valued at $5,000, he still has a responsibility of redeeming her at the $5,000. So the Gemara asks the question, Rumini. Nishbeis, if she's taken away in captivity, And the terrorists are saying, give us 10 times your value. Pam Rishona Poda. The first time around, you're Poda here. Mikan Veilech, from here on, Rata Poda, Rata Ina Poda. You have the option. That's according to Tanakama. But then Rabbi Shimon ben Elot, Rabbi Gamliel says, Omer im haya parkuna kineged ksubasa. Here he says it differently. Kineged ksubasa, if she's being redeemed for her, the value of the ksuba that he obligated himself to, then you could be pod there. Im lab, if they're asking for more than what he obligated himself in the ksuba for, ain't a pod there. There's no obligation to redeem her. So what happens is, machlokes Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, two different versions of what he said. So the Gemara says, ain't a chanami, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, tre kole isle. Rashi explains as follows: Trei kulei isle. It should be rather, Trei kulei lo yoser al demea shi ruya limacher b'shuk lo yoser al ksuvasa. There's not a steer here. There's two kulas in here. You never have to pay more than her value, and you never have to pay more than the ksuba. Not to say that you pay for
even if her value is more than the ksuba, he only has to pay up ksuba. The ksuba.
And let's say her value is less than the ksuba, then you
up to her value.
No, you could pay. No, you could pay more than her value. Oh, no, you pay.
You need both conditions.
All right, exactly. If your ksuba is $5,000 and she's only worth $2,000, you only have to pay up to $2,000. Right. You always take the lower limit, right? Whichever is less between her value and the ksuba. Okay.
But this has nothing to do with Pidyon Shvuim, right?
I mean, no, this is aspect.
Let's say all this happens and he doesn't have to do it. Does the kehila have a chiyuv to take her out? Yeah.
Yeah, he would have to. Unless they're asking an exorbitant amount of money, in which case we say not.
Right.
This discussion here, and really more so in Gittin, is the discussion with the view in terms of redeeming soldiers for terrorists. You know, the same type of thing. Normally, Gemara talks about money, not changing prisoners' exchanges. But you, one soldier for...
Torah speaks about changing one for one. Oh.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Okay, let me know.
If you don't think
what do you mean changing one for one?
Meaning if this shvuim, so one for one.
Yeah.
I think so. Okay. But if you do not think so, probably you're right.
So, no, but the same idea by prisoner exchanging.
Torah
so
doesn't say anything about shvuim?
Talks about shvuim in general. Talks about a eishes shvas toar.
No, if this is milchama and this shvuim.
You are not about the holding captivity and switching soldiers, not that I'm aware of.
No.
I could be wrong. But either way, by prisoner exchanges, so the same idea. You're going to have one, IDF soldier for 500 terrorists.
Yeah.
Well, on one hand, is that considered duch de tzipura? On one hand, it's not duch de tzipura because there's no responsibility in us. We're not paying money for it. But it's going to be the other problem of they're going to want to capture more of our soldiers to get more of the terrorists back. So that would be the problem based on these sugyas here. Okay. So the Gemara says the two dots. If she's somehow afflicted with a certain disease or sickness, illness, so then there's a responsibility of the husband to pay for her medical bills. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Almana nizones minichse yisomim. So let's say the Almana, she's a widow, her husband dies, and the children get the Yerusha. She's allowed to be fed from the property of the yisomim, betzrich refua, and she needs refua, harehi kimizono. So this, if you remember Rashi back in the Mishnah, said, what's the obligation, what's the mechayv of the husband to pay for the refuah? It was based on the mizonos. Just like the husband has obligation for paying mizonos, included in that is refuah as well. So he would also, she rather, would also be protected from medical bills from the mizonos, from the property of the yisomim. Right. Rashi explains, you see the Rashi, four lines from the top, tzricha refuah harehi kimizonos. If she requires refuah, says Rashi, harei refuah kimizonos, ditervayo chiyus ninu. They're both what provides her about life. That's what makes her live, both the medical attention and the food. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Oh, it's interesting. I think Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay. I think in the Gemara Ginoso, I think he weighs in terms of Pidyon Shvuim as well. Okay, I'm sorry. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, refuah sheyesh la kitzva nisrapes. Nisrapes, I guess, miksubasa, shein la kitzva harehi kimizonos. If it's refuah that has an end, it's a 5-day antibiotics or something, and she'll be bronchitis will go away. So then she takes from the ksuva. I guess she removes some of the money from the ksuva that she collected, and that will how she provides for her antibiotics. But if it's a refuah that's endless, there's no end in sight. So then she's going to be fed, she's going to be paid for from the property of the yisomim.
Doesn't she get the ksuva at the moment that the husband is neftar?
Yeah, so I guess what he's saying, she pays out of pocket, I guess.
Or maybe she was, he just died and they didn't have time to do the...
Oh, and I thought even, let's say they had time to give her the ksuba, I thought meaning it's saying that she pays out of pocket. The ksuba that she received, that should be viewed towards her refu that she's needed for the davar shekivta, I think. So she never got the ksuba yet?
Meaning, because maybe they owe it to her.
Aha, so maybe it's not as...
of Mammon, right?
Aha.
From the Yorshim or what?
Yeah. So I guess so.
Right, right.
So if she never received it, so then...
No, maybe the Yorshim went and grabbed the Nechasim. And
she has this outstanding... right.
Something like that. Right?
Okay, maybe. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asu HaKazas Dam Beret Yisrael Kirfua, Shein LaKitzva. So in Eretz Yisrael, they used to do hakazas dam. That's bloodletting. It's a certain type of medicine, which we don't practice anymore. But that is viewed as a refuah that has no end to it. It's something they would do every so often. There's certain days you're not supposed to do it. It makes a person weaker. I think there's a din. What's a din? Erev Shavuos or something about Erev Shavuos?
Is that about Tkufas?
Yeah.
It's Erev four times a year, right?
Four times a year. No, it's something about Erev Shavuos. About not fasting.
Two or three times a year.
We
learned it somewhere about
certain hours and certain dates of the year that it's a big sakana, no?
Yeah, but something about something in Sivan. There's a particular day in Sivan because there's some shade that has a control of the Hakaz Dam. And I think maybe you can't fast on that day or you can't do Hakaz Dam. So someone wants to ask for Chaim. Where that Shaykh was Banazek, because you don't do Hakazas Dam anymore. And he says, yeah, sure, it's Shaykh, whatever that means. I'm forgetting what it is. Either way, so Hakazas Dam, which according to David is two or three times a year, this is normally going to your routine checkup. So, and this is part of the Ein Lakitva, and the Yisomen would have to pay for the bloodletting.
It used to be, the Goyim also used to do it in those days.
To what?
They thought it would clean your system.
Meaning,
your body would generate new blood. That's what they thought.
Right, you release the bad blood.
It's not
the blood, but it's all
no,
over
no,
the body.
No. You're talking. It's not nowadays. It's not shaya. Meaning, it's not.
It's not smart.
Of 9 minutes.
Meaning,
okay.
There's no medicine.
The
blood. There's
blood is all over the body.
It doesn't solve anything.
Fine. Crave. Let's go weiter. Crave of the Yochanan. Crave of the Yochanan. Havale Isis. The relative of Yochanan. Havale Isis. Abba. David Sricha Rufua. Isis Ava. What does Isis Ava mean? The wife of his father, I guess.
So
I guess. Okay, so the wife of his father required Rufua. So this was Rabbi Yochanan. I guess the relative of Yochanan was either the son of her or the stepson of this Almana who required Rufua. Kol Yoma, she required Rufua every single day. Also, the comment of Rabbi Yochanan went in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lahu, he says to them, Izu Kotile Midei Rofe. You have to take upon yourself the responsibility of supporting her refua. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asinu Atzmenu K'orchei Dayanim. We're making ourselves like the Orchei Dayanim, like the ones, the lawyers making up the system. Rashi explains here. Look at Rashi. K'orchei Dayanim, Ov Echad Mibali Dinim, Umatim Zichuyosav Ladain, Vorech Adin Lefnei Dayanim, Zichusav Mikrev Orchei Dayanim. We're trying to distort the din and try to change and sway the way they think. So initially he gave a certain psak, and then he retracted that psak. He says, I can't give a psak here because that something's incorrect here. What's going on here? What did he initially think when he gave the psak? And what did he change his mind and say, wait a second, we can't do all this? You can't let your own flesh... you can't turn your face, you can't hide and close your eyes from this, you have to protect your own relatives. Uvasof savar Adam Chashav Shiny. In the end, he thought Adam Chashav was different. So what am I missing here? Adam Chashav Shiny. You have to be careful. Adam Chashav has to be very, very careful not to sway the din even a little bit to make the din make a serum sack. You have to be very, very careful. Even though you have to protect your own relatives, when it comes to Adam Chashav, you have to be very, very careful not to change the thoughts of the Dayanim.
But he should have done what? He should have...
Rabbi Yochanan gave a psak for his own relative.
Oh, right.
So Rabbi Yochanan really said the psak. He said, I can't let my relative just sit there and get nothing. But they said, I need to remove myself from the situation because I'm related and I have certain negiyas here, so therefore I need to take myself out of here. I'm like, orche dayanim. And therefore, he said, ask somebody else. That seems to be the exchange. Okay. Should we do the new mission now?
Yeah.
We have 10 minutes. The mission says, lo kasav la binin dichrin. Let's say the ksuba does not have written in it, binin dichrin. Di yehevei lechu minai inin yarsin kesav ksuvaseich. The Bin Dichrin, which says that any of your children, he says to his wife, any of your children are going to be Yorish, your Kesef Ksuva. We said this in the past. If he doesn't write that, it's still going to be Yes Al Kein. More than the other brothers, Imachuin, Chayiv, Shutanai Bezin. So what happens is, let's say the wife has her a son from a previous marriage, and she gets married, and they have more children. So the Tanai was that your son from the previous marriage will get your Ksuva. In addition to all the other chalukas he's going to inherit with my sons, he'll get the additional from your ksuba. He doesn't write down the ksuba, it's still chai because that's one of the Tanai Bezins. Let's say he doesn't write in the ksuba, binin nukrin, the daughters, do you have in lechu, that you have to the wife, he says, your daughters, minai, that you have from me, that our daughters together, you have in yasun bebesi, they should sit in my house, mizanin, and get sustained, minich sai, from my property, ad ditakuchin leguvrin, until he gets married. So the ksuba is supposed to write that your daughters will get to live off my estate until they get married. If he doesn't write that, there's a still chayev shu tanai bezin. That's still something that's a chayev, even though it's not written.
Meaning he's chayev to feed her daughters.
Correct. Until they get married.
Even though they're not his daughters.
Exactly. Even if they're not his, exactly. Even his stepdaughters. Another tanai. Din at tehe yasvi, that you should sit vesi in my house if I die. Mizane minichse, and go to get food from my estate. Kol yimei migar amanusucha bevesi. So long as you stay almana in my house. But if you get remarried, then I have no obligation. My estate has no obligation to feed you anymore. If he doesn't write that, still chayev shehu tanai bezin. That's also a tanai bezin. Kach hayu anshe Yerushalayim kosin. That's exactly how anshe Yerushalayim would write. We find a few places in Shas where anshe Yerushalayim is used. There's anshe Yerushalayim. There's yikire das Yerushalayim, nikire das Yerushalayim. So anshe Yerushalayim would write the ksuba in that manner. Anshe Goliel, Hayu Kosin Kanshi Yushalayim, they would also write the same text. Anshe Yehuda, Hayu Kosin Ad Sheyirtu, Hayoshin Litain Lecha, Kisuva Secha. They would add a certain one other caveat that if the Yerushim decide to just hear Jiksuba and go take care of yourself, the Yerushim had the right to do that. Hear Jiksuba and walk away.
Right, according to the Anshe Yushalayim, she could decide not to take the Suva and force him to feed her.
Correct. But Anshe Yehuda gave her...
You know, too bad. If they give you a ksuva, you're out, and,
yeah.
And that's it.
It's interesting to know that the differences between Anshe Yehuda and Anshe Gala, there are a lot of differences between them in terms of the world of Ishus, actually. One interesting one is that they used to be Miyached. Exactly, that's like a well-known one. That so therefore, you don't trust them.
What happened?
He can't have Tanis Besulim. Exactly. We learned in the beginning of Ksuvah, they cannot have Tanis Besulim because in Yehuda, they'd be Yichud and Beis Chamav.
They were one who...
Yeah. Exactly. Gaslibo.
Right.
So interesting to know what differences they had, what the different perspective Anshe Yehuda had about the relationship versus Anshe Yerushalayim. Here, apparently they didn't care so much. You could just let her go off the hook and there's no responsibility for the Almana anymore. Anyways, the Mishnah concludes, Lefikach, and therefore, Imratu Yorshin Nosin Laksuvasa Potinosa. Therefore, the Yorshin, according to Anshe Yehuda, could say, here's your Ksuba, here's your Masai Mana, and off you are. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shum Ben Yochai, Bifnei Mat Hiskinu Ksuvas Binin Dichon. What was the impetus for instituting this Binin Dichon? That the Binin Dichon get the right of collecting their own mother's Ksuba. What was the reason for that? They're making money anyways, the Yerusha, from all the other property. Why particularly their own mother's ksuba? So they explain, Kadeshi yikvots adam v'yichtov lebito kivno. In order that a person should jump and give property to his own daughter. Why? Why would you give property to your own daughter? You want to give her a dowry so she could get married. She could be attractive to being married to a husband. A husband doesn't want to marry a poor woman. He wants to marry someone who has some money. So in order to give the daughter some property. Why? What's the difference? Because if she dies, the daughter dies, that money will ultimately go to her own children, which are the grandfather's grandchildren. So he has certain shaychus to it. So he wants, it seems that in order that his grandchildren will have some Yerusha, he's willing to give his daughter to ultimately give his grandchildren. That's the motivation for this. That's how the Mefarshim explain this. So Gemara says, wait a second. Mi ika mide de midrachmana amar bra liros Bartolotiros. Is there anything? It does make sense. The Torah tells us that when there are sons and daughters, the sons inherit, the daughters cannot. How does a father have the option to give his daughter some money to ultimately give to the grandchildren? If there are also sons who are left over, he has no right to give a daughter among sons. How could it be that the Torah says you cannot give the daughters among sons? V'aster banan come along to chamim u'misakne detirus barta, and they said, no, you should make sure to give your daughter some property. How does it make any sense? Gemara says no. Honami deraisahu. The fact that the father gives the daughter, remember, binin dichrin, it goes back a generation. Binin dichrin is really to allow the father to give the daughter, to know that ultimately the daughter will end up giving the binin dichrin. That's how the whole process works. Who then the father to give the daughter, though? So we ask, how can the father give the daughter if there are also sons? The deraisa, only sons get, the daughter get nothing. Says the Gemara, even giving the daughter among sons is also a din deraisa. What's a din deraisa? Says the Gemara, very interesting drasha. Dichsiv kichu nashim, take wives for lidu banim and have children. Ubanos, have sons and have daughters. Ukichu livnechem nashim, and take for your sons wives, marry your sons off. Vesbinosechem tenu la nashim, and your daughters you should give to men. So asks the Gemara, Bishma, I understand the case of banim biyadei kaima. The sons are in your property, you have the rishus to give them over. Rashi explains why. Bishma bino biyado, levakesh lo isha, shadar chosho ish lachazel isha. Men are always chasing after women. So it makes sense that the husband's going to go seek out a wife for the husband, for his own son. Elabante mi kaima biyade. But the daughter, you're going to start chasing after men to marry the daughter? It doesn't work like that. So the Gemara says, so what does it mean? Hak mashblan din nil bishay v'nichse clother and cover v'nisiv lei midei and give her something ki yecha the kafse la, the people should be attracted to her v'asa nischei nisbe la and come to marry her. That's how we do. You can't actively seek out a husband for your daughter because that's not how it goes, how the process, and that's a derech eretz, but you make her attractive and to draw people towards her, whether it be with the way she dresses, the makeup, or whether it be with the money that she has. Okay, 6:52. Should we stop here? This might be a decent stopping point. It's a little bit, I know. We finished it off. Okay, so we'll stop here. Tomorrow.